Case number 07-5345, Heartland Regional Medical Center Appellant versus Michael O. Levitt, Secretary of Health and Human Services. Mr. DeSantis for the appellant, Mr. Dupree for the appellee.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal if the court permits. My name is Michael DeSantis. I am representing the appellant in this case, Heartland Hospital. This case has a long and convoluted history, but the issue before this court today is straightforward. In the remand proceedings before the administrator recognized that if the district court had nullified what is referred to as the rural requirement, if it had rendered it without effect, that it would have to have an adjudication to formulate a new rule to be applied retroactively and to determine whether Heartland was entitled to sole community hospital status under that rule. It recognized that that's what it had to do, and it simply did not do it. Although the administrator purported to hold an adjudication and claimed that it had, if we can even call it an adjudication, it was unlawful for 3 reasons. First, there was absolutely no opportunity to be heard. The administrator recognized, as I've said, that if the district court's decision nullified the rural requirement, there was no pre-existing law to apply, and therefore it had to create or readopt a new rule through adjudication. Yet in what was supposedly the adjudication, Heartland's own adjudication, Heartland had no opportunity to be heard on how the agency would fill that regulatory gap. The agency didn't hold a hearing before the board. It didn't take new evidence. It didn't even give Heartland an opportunity to submit a brief or comments. Nothing.
You're talking about the administrator's decision of September 6, 2000.
That's right, Your Honor.
When the administrator made that decision, the secretary had more than a year earlier readopted the rural requirement.
That's right.
And the administrator applied it. What's wrong with that?
That's right. In the generic rulemaking proceeding from the prior year, the secretary had readopted the rural requirement. But the readopted rural requirement applied prospectively only. It's clear from the order itself that it applied prospectively only. It's clear from the administrator's...
Prospectively only meaning what? This did occur, the adjudication occurred prospectively. So what do you mean by this?
Oh, you're quite right, Your Honor. I'm sorry. The adjudication did occur after the rule was adopted, but what was being adjudicated was Heartland's rights and entitlement to sole community hospital status only for the retroactive period from 1992 through 1998, which was the date of Judge Green's decision.
You're still at your point that it's in the brief, that the court totally eviscerated this rule and caused the secretary to start over.
That it vacated the rule.
So that there was no rule, as you said, there was no law to apply.
That's exactly right. And in that circumstance...
Well, but that's a rather heroic reading. When the court said your rule is inadequately explained, give me an explanation if you want to have this rule.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to turn to that, Your Honor. What the court said is not only that the rule was arbitrary and capricious in its adoption, but it is therefore invalid. And he said it twice. He said the rule is therefore invalid in his text on pages 93 and 94 of the joint appendix. And again, in his conclusion, he said however well-intended the rule requirement may be, it is invalid.
This ruling was in 98.
That's right.
The court made no citation to this circuit's criteria for vacating versus remanding without vacature. But those criteria were in place. And the Allied Signal case was 1992. And Allied Signal clearly indicates this was not a case in which the rule should be vacated, but rather remanded for the explanation to be supplied, if it can be.
Well, Allied Signal did predate Judge Green's decision from the district court, but Allied Signal certainly doesn't say that rules always must be remanded without vacature.
No, it says if all the problem is that it's inadequately explained, and if there's reason to think that it might be adequately explained, then don't disrupt the program in just the way you're suggesting has happened, but rather just send it back for the explanation to be added.
So that's
what he did.
It provides a test and a framework for when remand without vacature may be appropriate, and it actually turns on disruption. Now, there's two things that are important to note. Number one, Judge Green didn't apply that test, and courts before Judge Green's decision and after Judge Green's decision, all the way through, you know, the present year, have routinely vacated decisions that were arbitrary and capricious in their adoption and may even be readopted.
Are you saying they routinely ignore Allied Signal?
No, I think it's fair to say that there's a debate in this court as to when...
In this court, but the district courts are you saying, disregarding with the present state of the circuit law?
No, absolutely not.
Judge Green was alone in doing that.
Well, I'm sorry, I may have misunderstood
the question.
Judge
Green disregarded it, right?
Judge Green did not apply the rule of Allied Signal, but I don't think there's anything in Allied Signal that says it has to be applied in every case, and I think there's...
Well, circuit law is applicable in every case in the circuit.
Of course, Your Honor.
So I don't see what that adds.
Because I don't think Allied Signal is a rule that must be applied by the district courts in every case. This court,
well,
too...
Allied Signal provides the criteria for deciding whether to vacate or not to vacate. How can the district court not apply that? It's got to decide one way or the other, and those are the criteria.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I might have misunderstood the question. Allied Signal doesn't direct it doesn't direct that district courts must remand without vacature under particular circumstances, but it does provide a test, which Judge Green did not apply.
Well, he didn't cite Allied Signal, but he also didn't say he vacated the rule. So, it's not entirely clear what he did, but we ought to read him as doing what he should have done, since it's not inconsistent with that. Well, and what he should have done was not vacated it, and he didn't say he vacated it, hold it invalid as it stands, and remand it for rehabilitation if it could be done.
A couple of things, Your Honor. First of all, the job today is to determine what Judge Green did, not what Judge Green might have done or could have done, which is what the government argues about. The question is what he did. And
we know what he did. He said this rule was invalid because for want of an explanation of this aspect.
Right. And of course, to vacate means to invalidate. It's what the Supreme Court has discussed in Georgetown v. Bowen, which was the leading case area.
To say that the rule is inadequately explained and therefore has to be remanded is also to invalidate it. Now, either way, it's invalid unless and until it can be supplemented.
That's right. And under 706 of the APA, it says if a agency action is arbitrary and capricious, it shall be held unlawful and set aside. And that's what Judge Green did here. And the government didn't appeal that. They filed an appeal, and then they withdrew that appeal before decision. Now, as for the Allied Signal test itself, again, it's a question of what Judge Green did, not what he could have done. But even under the Allied Signal test, which turns on disruption, this would be a particularly poor case to apply that test because there's absolutely
on the contrary,
no disruption.
Because if you're right, the disruption is that the plan which would have, the program under which you would not have been reimbursed now causes the secretary to reimburse you, even though he can adequately, explain what was missing in the first version.
Respectfully not, Your Honor. The argument is simply that the agency would have to hold an adjudication to determine what rules would apply for the retroactive period. And it may decide in that adjudication that a particular rule applied and the Heartland didn't get the money. That would be fair under administrative law, but what's also fair is that Heartland have an opportunity to be heard in that proceeding. The only when courts talk about disruption, they're typically talking about regulated parties don't know how to conduct their business, or they have to make major expenditures because they don't know what rule is in place, or an old rule springs back into effect that would disrupt the economy. That's not the case here. All that would have to happen is that the administrator would have to have an adjudication to determine, even if it were to determine that the same rural requirement should apply for the retroactive period, it could make that decision in an adjudication in which Heartland has an opportunity to be heard and to make its arguments and to put its evidence before the agency, before the board. Without that opportunity, the decision that we're reviewing today violates the APA and must be reversed. I'm just about out of time, so I will save my 2 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Tom Dupree on behalf of the United States. In denying Heartland's claim, the agency did exactly what this court said it could do. It reinstated the same result through adjudication. The fundamental flaw in Heartland's argument is that it misapprehends the narrow scope of Judge Green's remand. I think Judge Ginsburg accurately characterized Heartland's reading as heroic and overbroad, in that what Judge Green did, as this court recognized in its first opinion in this case, was remand for a very limited, narrow purpose.
You didn't respond in your brief to appellant's citation to Supreme Court's decision in Bowen, where the court said that a regulation which is declared to be invalid is without legal effect. What is your response to that? I mean, that's what the district court did here. The district court said it was arbitrary, capricious, and invalid. And Bowen says that when a court uses that sort of language, the regulation is without legal effect.
Judge Tatel, I acknowledge that the Bowen court did use the word invalid, but I'm not sure that the Bowen court's language is properly construed as a holding equating the word invalid with vacator. Certainly, this court's precedent.
It says it's without legal effect, and when we just remand for further explanation, I don't think the regulation is without legal effect.
Well, I think without legal effect means unless and until it's cured. In other words, when Judge Green remanded the rule in this case, or remanded this matter to the agency, what he was saying was that the rule is invalid unless and until the agency cures the procedural flaw that I found. So I think that's the nature of the invalidation in this case. What I don't think Judge Green did is vacate the rule. Certainly, this court's decision in Allied Signal strongly indicates that vacator would have been unwarranted in this context where the rule was readily curable by the agency. Moreover, I think it's highly significant that nowhere in Judge Green's opinion does he say he's vacating the rule. The word doesn't appear in his opinion, nor for that matter, does it appear in the plaintiff's complaint. When Heartland sued us initially, they did not request vacator. Judge Green did not say he was vacating the rule. And under this court's precedent, it would have been unwarranted to vacate the rule. So I think all of those factors strongly indicate that the rule was not vacated. And as the plaintiffs concede on page 21 of their brief, if this court were to conclude that Judge Green did not vacate the rule, this appeal must be resolved in the government's favor. Heartland makes several...
But what if suppose it was vacated, then what?
If it was vacated, then this court needs to move to what is argued under Roman 2 in our brief, namely whether the agency properly reached its result through adjudication. And I think the answer to that is clearly yes.
Okay, assuming it was vacated by the district court, it was repromulgated by the secretary, right? It appeared in the Federal Register, whole new start.
That's correct.
Before the administrator then relies on it as covering this case.
That's correct.
But how could the administrator do that, since it would be applying it retroactively?
Well, what the administrator did was his decision is broken into two segments. He analyzed this case under the assumption, first, that the rule was not vacated, in which case he could properly apply the cured rule. Then he went on to analyze this case under the assumption that the rule was vacated, in which case he did his own analysis for why it was proper to construe the rural requirement as using metropolitan statistical areas as the metric. Yeah,
but how about whether it was appropriate to have a rural exemption?
Well, I think it's that, first.
That's the question. The administrator held it not entitled because it wasn't rural. That's the issue. It wasn't the MSA versus the non-MSA.
Well, two points.
Isn't that correct?
Well, I'm not sure it is, Judge Tatel, for two reasons. The first point is that I don't think that Judge Green's decision is properly construed as nullifying
Judge Ginsburg's question was based on the assumption that the rule is vacated.
Well,
we're now assuming it's vacated.
Yes, Judge Tatel, what I'm trying to address...
There's no rule that can be applied retroactively.
Right, but the point I'm trying to make is that what Judge Green was addressing was the definition of rural as distinct from the statement in the reg that says in order to qualify for SCH status, the hospital must be rural.
The administrator rejected, said that the hospital was ineligible retroactively because it wasn't rural, right?
Well, Where
in the administrator's decision did the administrator justify the adoption of an application to Heartland of a rural rule? That is, that you are not eligible if you are not rural.
Well, the rural requirement, as it appears.
Tell me where in the decision does he do that?
Well, in the portion of his decision, I provide the citation, it's the portion of the decision where he analyzes the case, assuming that the rule had been vacated, beginning on JA 203, where the administrator says that even assuming that Judge Green had vacated the definition of rural, that is to say, the definition of rural defining it as outside of an MSA, the administrator reasons on his own that the proper definition of rural is by reference to MSAs.
Isn't the MSA issue relates to the application of the rural rule? That is, how do you define whether a hospital is rural or not, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm asking you the antecedent question, which is where does the administrator readopt and justify the rural rule in the decision? In fact, the language of the decision says I'm at 203. I think I'm reading the same sentence you were. It says the administrator finds that as the secretary has articulated, a reasonable basis for the use of an MSA-based definition of rural as opposed to other alternatives. Okay? That's what he's saying. He says the secretary has justified the MSA-based definition of rural as opposed to other alternatives. But where in the decision does the administrator adopt the rural standard by which he excluded petitioner from retroactive reimbursement? That's my question.
But I think the reason, Judge Tatel, why he did not explain that is because the rural requirement, as distinct from the rural definition, was not vacated. In other words...
No. We're assuming the rule was vacated. That's part of the question.
Well,
I think that was Judge Ginsburg's question. Assuming the rule was vacated. I mean, I don't know how you vacate a definition of a standard without vacating the standard.
Well, I think
Do you know of any case where that's ever happened?
I don't, Judge Tatel, but as a logical matter, I think it makes...
That's logical?
Well, absolutely, Your Honor. I think that if the regulation
says... You have a standard, and there's a definition for the standard. You vacate the definition, and the standard is still in full force and effect?
But you need to give meaning to the standard. You need to supply a new definition to the standard.
Okay, but now we're on a frolic and a detour here.
Even
the question is... So let's assume you're wrong. Let me tighten the hypothetical. Assume that you're wrong about the administrator, the court vacating just the definition and not the rule, and that the rule was vacated. Would you then concede that the petitioner must win here, the appellant must win here?
Oh, absolutely not, Your Honor, because
Let me ask you the question differently. Would you then concede that you have to find somewhere in the administrator's decision an adoption and justification of the rule that a hospital is ineligible if rural?
Well,
would you agree with that?
I'm not sure I would, Your Honor,
really?
Because I think that under the governing statute that gives the secretary authority to implement it, this is 42 USC 1395 WW, the administrator, the secretary, is given authority specifically by Congress to flesh out the standards for determining when a hospital is sufficiently isolated,
yes,
inaccessible to qualify for SCH status.
Don't you agree that if it's going to adopt in a adjudication a bright line rule, that is, that hospitals which are not rural are not eligible, that rule has to be justified, right?
Sure, and I think the administrator did.
Where?
The portion
in
of the decision we've been discussing, 203
all it says,
to 205.
All it says, let me read it to you again. It says, the administrator finds, as the secretary has articulated, a reasonable basis for the use of an MSA definition of rural, comma, as opposed to other alternatives. That does not justify the rural standard. It justifies the definition of rural. Where in this document does the administrator adopt the rule excluding rural hospitals?
Judge Tatel, that language does not appear in here, but I don't think it was necessary, because I think what the administrator...
It sounds like the case we hear for the first argument.
So I was, Your Honor.
Same principle, right?
So,
right?
But I don't
really
think...
have to look at the decision to find it. We can just assume it's there?
Well, I don't, but my point is that I don't think it's necessary for the administrator to define or to explain why a rural requirement was adopted when the administrator did go on to explain why, as he did at length, a hospital could not qualify for SCH status if it was not in, or excuse me, if it was in an urban area. The being urban versus rural ties in directly with the statutory factors that Congress identified, namely, is the hospital isolated? Is it readily accessible? And so I think that the administrator acted well within his discretion, assuming that the rule was vacated, in saying that a hospital can't qualify for this status if it's outside or if it's inside an urban area. I think that that's eminently reasonable.
Does the regulation require anywhere that that the data has to be ranked, the zip code data has to be ranked in order of discharge?
I think what it does say is that the data needs to be presented.
Yeah, but it doesn't say it has to be ranked, right? Okay. I couldn't find it either.
I would note, just to close that point, Your Honors, that basis, the zip code, county-based data issue, that, of course, is an alternative argument for affirmance. And this court need only reach the question of zip codes and county-based data submissions in the event that it disagrees with us both on the threshold question of whether the rule is vacated or not and on the second question of whether the adjudication was proper. So for this court even to reach that issue...
Let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, suppose we get to it, right? How do we know that the administrator actually reviewed the hospital's data?
Well, the administrator reviewed the data because...
All the administrator said was that it wasn't arranged by... All he said, it wasn't arranged by county and concluded that it violated the regulation, even though the regulation itself says if a hospital does not wish to use zip codes, we will review data from any independent source. They didn't do that.
Well, it reviewed the data but deemed it insufficient.
That's because it didn't find the data consistent with, it didn't use zip code data, right?
That if the provider had submitted his data in zip code form, I think the administrator in all likelihood would have found it sufficient. Zip code form, of course, is the one form of submission that's explicitly authorized in the regulations.
The rule says that we'll review data from any independent source that can supply documented data to prove that. This hospital submitted an alternative method, and they rejected it because it wasn't zip codes.
Well, I think there's a difference between reviewing the data and accepting the data. I mean, certainly one could imagine a scenario in which a provider submitted gibberish or something that was totally...
But they cite in their brief other cases where HCFA has granted sole status to other hospitals that use only county data.
Well, the examples in their brief, I don't think were...
But you didn't respond to that in your brief either.
So that's right. We didn't. But I would point out that
I thought maybe you were conceding it. Because you didn't respond to it.
The examples that they cite in their brief, I think in all cases, involve situations where the fiscal intermediary approved it, and then it may have been approved at the regional office. But number one, it wasn't done at the board level or the administrator level. Number two, it's not clear from the materials.
Why didn't you say that in your brief?
Simply because the plaintiffs raised numerous challenges, we explained that the administrator properly denied it on the county-based issue. That was the reason why he denied it, and we thought that was sufficient. Certainly, the Heartland has made a number of arguments. We did our best to respond to every single one of them, but just given the volume of them, I think we focused on the ones that we felt were most material.
Thank you, Mr. Dupree.
Thank you.
Give you a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. I just want to make a few quick points in response. First of all, the government stated that it was not in Heartland's complaint that the rural requirement be vacated. That is not true, and it actually just shows the wordplay that the government is engaging in here. On page 225 of the joint appendix, Heartland requests in its prayer for relief to the district court that the court set aside the administrator's decision denying Seoul Community Hospital status to plaintiff hospital as legally invalid and or erroneous. Setting aside is vacating. It was raised by the plaintiffs. Second, I just wanted to refer the court to a litany of cases that we cite on pages 26 and 27 of our opening brief and footnote 11, in which this court, both before and after Judge Green's decision, has numerous times vacated decisions of agencies, vacated regulations, where there was certainly a chance that they could be readopted and where the only issue found was that they were adopted in an arbitrary and capricious way. Finally, I would just like to say that with respect to the final argument, whether the agency reviewed Heartland Hospital's zip code data, I think the record is absolutely clear that they did not. The only reason the arbitrator gave for denying the claim at that point was that the information was, that the zip code information provided, recall that Heartland had submitted zip code information, but they didn't rank the zip codes in rank order, which is obviously not in the statutes, not in the regulations, not in the manual. The only thing the administrator said was it's not in the proper format. He didn't look at it. He didn't give any indication as to whether the data that Heartland did give was trustworthy or not. He simply didn't review them. And to sort of add insult to injury, recall that only days before the administrator issued its decision, it held that Heartland did satisfy all of the requirements of the regulation going forward, and it granted Heartland Soul Community Hospital status going forward from January 1, 2000 forward. So for 6 days later, for the agency to say that actually we don't know whether Heartland met the regulatory requirements or that we think they didn't meet the requirements, just absolutely cannot pass a test of reasoned decision-making. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you both. The case is submitted.